Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's just praise the Lord for what we've received on this. We've done weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks studying the Spirit of power. Thank you, Father. We just praise you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. By your own Spirit, we study the Word that you wrote in the first place. And we're so appreciative and grateful to you for it. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
His desire for us to walk in that power.
Yes, that's right. Yesterday we were talking about judging people. Well, let's go back here to Luke chapter 6. And, Jesus, Lord Jesus. Verse 20, he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And it's called the Beatitudes. And it's just magnificent words just falling from the lips of the Master. But I say unto you which hear, you have to hear it, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. I've had situations over the years that really had to put this to work in order to get that person's face out of my mind and do this and just do it at night and morning during the day. Well, you know, Father, I just forgive so-and-so. And I don't hold anything. And you come on down, verse 35, here it is again. Love your enemies, do good, and so forth. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the thankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. You see it? There's an exchange there. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure you made, measure withal, it be measured unto you again. You don't have any business standing on verse 38. That doesn't work until you get all this other down.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Now, judge not, and you shall not be judged. How easy it is to judge. I learned this from Keith Moore. Well, not the whole thing, but Keith did a whole series on it.
Yeah.
And brought it out, how easy it is to be judgmental. And you don't even realize what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And particularly when somebody comes up and says, well, now you know how much I love Pastor, but he's about to be judged right there.
Right there. It's a dangerous thing.
And he's the pastor. And if you don't like him that much, go to another church. But don't judge him. You don't know why and when and where the Lord told him to do that way. You've been a pastor. You know what I'm talking about. I've never pastored. I don't want to. And when we first built the church, oh, Lord, I don't want to go into that. But anyway,
it's something you got to be called to.
Now, let me say this to the radio and television audience. Now, here's something you have to realize. Judge not that you be not judged. This is not necessarily by the Lord.
Exactly.
Let me put it in a simple way. Well, I just really do not like the way he dresses. And I don't like the way his wife dresses. So you mean you're the standard for the church now? Now, here's what people don't realize. You're going to come up against the same things in some form or another. Now that you've set the bar this high, you're going to have to pass it. And since you're the judge, the bar is probably not that high in your own life. That's the reason you... And someone said, we judge others by what they do and judge ourselves by our good intentions.
That's the truth. Right. I'm not going to be judged by God in this and go to hell over this.
No.
I'm a believer. He already judged Jesus. Or he will. This is prior to the death, burial, and resurrection. But I've set myself up on the mercy seat. It's not a judgment seat. It's a mercy seat.
Yes.
And that's where his spirit resides right now. All of the things that set this up in Luke before, he had eaten at the wrong place with Levi and all the publicans. His disciples walked through the field and grabbed grain with their hands and didn't wash their hands in the ceremonial way. So this is what precipitated all of this teaching right here. Now, this is impossible to do if you're not born again, spirit-filled. You just can't. You don't have enough time to try to do all this. The rabbis teach this, the evil tongue, Lashon Hara, what it's called. It's saying true things about a person. Not saying falsehoods, saying true things about a person that harms their reputation, harms their business, harms their name, harms their family.
Well, Philippians 4 takes care of that.
Mm-hmm.
Whatsoever things are honest, good and pure and good report. That's not good report.
No. No, it's not. So you can do it this way. And the rabbis teach that we're carriers of his name, meaning I can't swear by his name to something. I swear to God, if that guy does that, I'm going to knock his head off. No, you don't have the right to do that. You can't make God part of your fit of anger. You can't do that. He's not going to sign on to that. You just took his name in vain.
Yes.
The minute you did that. It doesn't even have to be verbal. It can be an eye roll. Or, I don't care what they say about Keith Moore. I know this. I'm standing up for him. Well, see what I just do. I implied that I know something, but I don't care what you say about him. You see what I'm saying? I'm implying that there's some truth to your negative.
All you needed to say is, God loves Keith Moore, and so do I.
Yeah, because I'm using Keith Moore because you brought up Keith Moore.
But it just you just bring up anybody's name.
Brother Hagin taught us that. I think you'd say something nice about Hitler. And he said, well, he was persistent. Or, you know, something. I mean, in other words, he wasn't going to allow himself to be trapped into doing these very things.
Remember this time we were at a gathering. And Pentecostal preacher came up to James Robertson. And he said, that Kenneth Copeland, he said, and James just said, hold on just a minute, hold on just a minute. Everybody, this brother has Kenneth Copeland on his mind, and he's going to lead us in prayer for Brother Copeland. Jesus.
Yeah.
James is quick.
Yeah.
And he stopped it, right? He didn't let it go one
bit. Amen.
One place further. So, and now let's go back over where we were in 1 Corinthians 11.
As we turn there, if you look at chapter 7 of Luke, Jesus will be tested in the very thing right here, because this is where the centurion will come to him. This is not a covenant person of Israel.
That's right.
He will be tested in all of this. He has the opportunity to judge this non-Gentile.
So
why would I heal?
So Cornelius sends word to him, and he had that opportunity. But now, this is how easy Jesus is. He just said, I'll come heal him.
Yeah.
And they said, well, now, he's a great guy. He built us this synagogue here in Capernaum and all that. That didn't have anything to do with it. He had a sick servant. That whole thing mattered to him.
But they made a list of things about why he should do this.
Yeah.
I don't need to do that. But see how the enemy will do that? He brings a guy who doesn't have a covenant after he just preached this.
Yes. That's the pattern.
That's the pattern.
Jesus said so in the 4th chapter of Mark. The sower sows the word. Satan always comes immediately to steal it. He's a thief.
Yeah, and he didn't go in there and say, well, I'm only here of the lost tribe or the sheep of Israel. No.
No.
He
the Syrophoenician woman was exactly the same
way. Exactly the same way.
But she called him Son of David and got his attention.
Absolutely got his attention. But he's doing that not because this is Genesis 12:3. He had blessed the people, so he's deserving. I mean, that's what they're arguing.
I love it.
Okay, so you had us going to 1 Corinthians
chapter 11.
So the
verse 1.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians.
Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. I will not have you know the head of every man. And he begins to teach them. Now you can, and he taught about women and what Brother Hagin called a woman problem. Mm-hmm. But it comes on down here, verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. He's given thanks, broke it, eat, take my body which is broken for you, just doing remembrance of me. The same manner he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, or the New Covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it as a remembrance of me. Now, I remember things when I take communion. And I take communion a lot. And I remember things. I remember miracles. I remember miracles. That little girl strapped down to that old wheelchair and with about a 2x12 strapped on there and strapped her down and she was, all she could move was her eyes. She was paralyzed. And Brother Roberts had just preached, move something, move a finger, get something in the motion. She just started walling her eyes. Just sort of, she said, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. I can see that when I take communion. And she said, Mama, Mama, untie me, untie me. Oh, baby, baby. She said, get me loose from here. And they had her old belt thing. They cut her loose. And that board was on that old wheelchair like this. She just leaped across that and began to run all the way around that
praise
tent.
God.
I remember that. I see that in my mind right now. Mm. And then, now you come on down, let a man examine himself and leave the brink of that trip. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now we're back to the Lord's body again.
There it is.
Judging other people. For this cause many are weakly and sick among you, many are dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. You can judge yourself. There's no way to count how many times I've done that. Mm-hmm. For thinking yesterday or the day before, I was guilty of it. I had to repent of it. Oh God, forgive me. Please forgive me. I judged him and I don't have any right to do that. That's a good man. And I was just laughing around about it, but it didn't make any difference whether he's laughing or cussing. It's judgment. I judged him.
Peter wanted to call fire down one time. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of.
That's the wrong spirit.
That's the wrong spirit. Here it is right here. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. This is why people are sick. I used to think this verse meant that you had to be, I have ever sinned forgiven. I've got to repent. I've got to make sure everything It's not what that's talking about, judging the Lord's body. You're part of the body. You're part of the body. You're part of the body. If I've been judging, let's go back to pastor. I've been judging pastor.
Or anybody in the church.
Anybody else. Then I am, here's the deal. Pastor George is my pastor. If I judge Pastor George, start talking about Pastor George, I'm not talking about Pastor George. I'm talking about Jesus Christ.
Yes, you are, because he's the one who called him pastor.
Yes, sir. And he is the head of the church.
Yes, he is.
He's the great shepherd, to which Pastor George is an under shepherd.
We came home. This is that we way back when the John and Kelly were very small, and grade school age children. And where we lived out south of Fort Worth, then, when you turn came off of the freeway and then down there. People would be down there sometimes selling fruit and so forth. And so Gloria stopped and picked up a whole sack of cantaloupes and brought, I like cantaloupes. Brought those in there, and I could hardly wait. I'd get that out. I took those two good-looking ones off the top of the sack. Every one of them in the rest of that sack were bad. Oh, I'm telling you. I told Gloria, I said, I think I'll go back down there and spank him. No, she said, you're not either. I said, why not? She says, because cantaloupe's cheap. and then she politely reminded me it wasn't my business to judge him, and he's probably already gone by now anyway, and calmed me down. But I judged that man. I called him a thief. Mm. How do I know that he did that on purpose? I don't. He probably did, but probably is not good enough. Only Jesus knows whether he did that on purpose or not.
So you turn it over to him that judges righteously.
Let it go. Just let it go. Spend some time thinking about it. Well, now wait a minute. Now wait a minute. There's a saying in aviation, and it applies here. I don't care what kind of an emergency you have, unless it's something on the ground or just immediately after takeoff. Now, there are memory items that you have to do by memory. You have to memorize, particularly in jets, because a jet moves so fast. But all of a sudden you have an emergency. Hold it, stop and wind your watch.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. This thing's not going to fall out of the air. What do we have here? Dwayne, get the checklist out and let's see what this says. And here we have this and this and this. That may be a false alarm, but we don't know. Wind your watch. Don't judge people. Stop and think about it and meditate on them and love them first. Love them first.
Well, there's a little French cafe place that Michelle likes to go to, and I go along with her. And I've learned to like it. But we'll go in there. And I went in there one day. I don't know why, Brother Cope. I don't know why I did this. I went in there, and there's this little girl waiting on us or taking our order there. And I said, you know, you guys get this wrong every time. This what I'm about to order, you get it wrong every time, and I don't want it like this. And I'm like, I looked at Michelle, I go, they never get it right. And she goes, well, when we left there, she goes, that area, and went to our table, she goes, you proud of that? Well, proud of what? I said, well, I wanted to let her know. And I heard it in my spirit, and you should have said, and that's the way I like it, because that's what you're confessing. And I found out she was new. She's never worked there before. She's never done it wrong. And the man of God comes in there and unloads on her that you guys never get it right. And I had to repent.
Yeah, you did.
I had to straighten that up, and I had to leave the biggest tip I'd ever left, mm-hmm. not just for her, but for the girl behind the counter. And I said, Lord, forgive me. I'm so sorry. She did not deserve that. Because I say they get it wrong every time.
Well, I've told you about this before, and I think I've mentioned it here in class not too long ago. Jerry and Carolyn Savelle, Vicki and Dennis Burke, Gloria and I, and Happy and Jeannie Caldwell, we were on a motorcycle trip, and we don't have anybody to preach to. We just preached to ourselves. And this particular time, we were up in Colorado. And, you know, a lot of us, and we still had on our motorcycle stuff, which, you know, that didn't go all that well for some people. But so they had to make larger tables. And this waitress, she came out there and she set the water down. I mean, set the stuff down on water down. And she didn't take the order yet. And she took everybody's order. And I don't know who said it. Could we have some water? Yeah. And slammed that down on the table. So it rose up within me, and it rose up within Jesse and Vicki and Dennis all at the same time. And so I said, hey, there's something wrong. Something going on with her. Let's pray for her. So we just called hands and prayed. She came back over there I said, I pulled a chair out. I said, sit down here, baby. We're gonna pray for you. So we said, now something's wrong. And we're Christian people. And so we're standing there and around that chair, and I just put my hands on the back of her head, and I began to pray, and she broke down. She began to weep and cry. And then she says, you don't have any idea. Oh, my sister did this at the wedding, and I just... Mm-hmm. We said, hey, everything's okay. Oh, everything's all right. Well, I just... No. I said, just be quiet. Everything is okay. You understand? The Lord is in charge now. Amen. Let her in prayer. Amen. All of a sudden, see, we had no idea what was behind the scene. Other people just getting mad. Well, she's not getting any tip out of me.
See, I took myself out of being able to minister to that girl that day. And that may have been why I was there.
It could have been.
So basically what happens is you do this, Brother Cope, you say, Jesus, I got this. Could you move over, please, from your position? Yeah. Because I'm going to be the judge.
When we got through, I mean, she brought everything out there, followed us all the way to the door and outside.
Waving. Yeah. Transformed life.
Yes, it transformed her life.
It'd be like this. When we try to move people that God's placed in position, pastors, whatever they are, it'd be like me coming... Put yourself in with this with Oral Roberts. Be like me coming up to you while you're preaching and say, excuse me, let me take this for a second. And I want to finish this because you're kind of going the wrong direction with it.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. You'd have never thought to do that with Oral
Roberts. That's the way God
Roberts.
Sees it.
You'd have never thought to do that with Oral Roberts. I would never do that with you. But that's the way he sees
it. Or sit there while he's preaching and text to somebody else how much this man is missing God.
Ooh. We need to repent today. You sensing this today? Judge not lest
you be
judged.
Not judged.
This is how the power works, Brother Copeland.
Yeah.
It's a hindrance to the power.
Yes, it is.
And if you want the power full force in your life, you can't let these little things like this hinder. It's not a little thing, but you can't let these things hinder the flow of the power.
Greg, Gloria, I was a student there at Oral Roberts University. And she stayed at home with the children, but she was listening to Brother Hagin's tapes all day and making notes. I came home one day and she said, Kenneth, listen to what the Lord said to me in my spirit. In consistency lies the power. Being constantly the same way spiritually. all the time walking in love. And we're out of time again today. So give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. We'll be back in just a moment.
People can go through life feeling powerless and unable to withstand the storms that come their way. But God has given every born-again believer authority over the enemy and the power to overcome. In fact, Jesus made it clear that having the Holy Spirit is crucial for those who follow Him. Discover how God wants to fill you with His power with The Holy Spirit, an audio teaching by Kenneth Copeland. Everything you have need of, God can meet. The Bible says greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. The very power of God is the Holy Spirit. Learn how to receive revelation, knowledge, and find victory with the help of the Holy Spirit. He is your intercessor, comforter, and guide who promises to lead you into all truth. Realize the power of God that's inside of you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and step into the destiny God has for you. The Holy Spirit in you is your intercessor, standby, comforter, teacher, and friend. Learn how to be led by the power of the Spirit within you. Request your free copy of Kenneth Copeland's MP3 series, The Holy Spirit, on kcm.org/victory offer, or when you call 877-615-4267. Offers good for 60 days. If you are outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Take the word of faith wherever you go with the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Build your faith through powerful articles from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and other guest authors. Read encouraging stories and testimonies of real-life victory and equip your kids for spiritual growth in Commander Kelly's Corner. Download a digital copy for your tablet or mobile device. Sign up for your free monthly subscription or download your copy today on our KCM website.
Join Kenneth Copeland at these upcoming KCM events. August 1 through 6, bring your whole family to the Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas. October 27 through 29, come to the Omaha Victory Campaign in Nebraska. And November 10 through 12, join Kenneth Copeland at the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign in Woodbridge, Virginia. KCM events are free to attend. Go to kcm.org/events for more information, and we'll see you there.
It was wonderful having you with us again today, and I know you're as excited about the Word of God and about the Lord Jesus and His Spirit as we are. And until tomorrow, this is Kenneth Copeland, Professor Greg Stevens, the whole class reminding you that God loves you and we love you and Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah.
Let the Word of God build your faith. Kenneth Copeland calls KCM.org your study center. You can watch, read, and share faith-based content and teaching resources available to you free.